As human beings, we're always looking for something limitless, whatever it may be. Different people look for it in different things. It may be money, it may be fame, it may be knowledge, it may be something else. There's so many different ways we're looking, but in some way, everyone's looking for limitlessness or boundlessness. Most people seem to be looking at it in the wrong things. They're looking at it in physical things. If something is physical, that means it has a boundary. It's not limitless. But the urge is for something limitless, but we're just looking in the wrong direction. I've experienced this with yoga. There's a boundless dimension to it. So many people are looking for happiness and so many different things. But if you can just be joyful and happy by your own nature, that's the greatest thing you can have.
Hi, everyone. I'm Pavi, the founder of this movement called Gromance. And I'm so happy to have you here. If you're anything like me, you are also passionate about holistic health, spirituality, and technology. I coined this term Gromance for this passion, this love of falling in love with your ever-evolving self. It means you experience self-love and compassion at every step of your growth journey. You approach life with absolute passion and purpose and be that infinite learner. Welcome to my space, and I hope you stay a while and explore. I release solo episodes every week on Monday, sharing my journey and learnings, and occasionally bringing in experts to have conversation about their journey of Gromance. Hi, Savin. So excited to have you here. How are you doing today?
Hi, Pavi. I'm good. I'm happy to be here as well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for being on the show. So when I first met you on Clubhouse, I was really intrigued by your experiences and was very curious to know more about you. And that's why I invited you to the Gromance show. So I'd really love to know more about your Gromance journey, which is basically your growth journey so far, the experiences that you've had that has made you who you are today.
Yeah. So my journey started at a very young age when I was born in the US in Michigan, but then when I was about 5 years old, we moved to India and I studied it's a Isha Yoga Center, it's called, in South India. And they have residential schools there. So I studied at one of the schools. There are two schools. The one I studied at focuses more on the Indian art forms. So we learned like Indian classical music, classical dance, martial arts, which we learned Kalaripayattu, which is an Indian martial art. And it's actually considered the mother of all martial arts. And then there was yoga, Sanskrit, and then Ayurveda, Siddha. And then there's different instruments as well. So these were like the main focus subjects that we learned. Apart from, we also had like basic English, math, history, and we had science workshops and stuff as well. But when I was 5 years old, I went to India. Yeah, so I started at that school. I started when I was 8. And the main focus being on these Indian art forms, it really made a huge impact in my life in terms of the kind of balance and stability it's brought to me, both physically and psychologically. Just doing all those different Indian art forms, the way they're designed, it just brings that kind of a balance and stability within a human being. So that's why my parents wanted me to go through that. And I started that school when I was 8 years old. And initially it was difficult because it takes a lot of, it's like intense. So initially it was a little difficult. It took some time for me to get used to it. But within like a year or so, I got used to the whole thing and I actually enjoyed being there. And now I'm happy. I'm so grateful that I actually was a part of that type of schooling, just because I can see how it's impacted me in so many ways. And right now, after like, now I'm 21, I can clearly see how that, the kind of stability that brought, it makes a huge difference. And I can see that in my life. I can see the benefits right now. So just doing those different art forms, practicing yoga, meditation, doing these things every day, it brought a certain type of stability and it built that foundation within me. Now, with that foundation, I feel like I can do so much more just because I have myself set in such a way where now I can I can explore so many more things. So yeah, it's been an amazing journey. That school was a 10-year course. So I started when I was 8 and I did it until I was 18. And I just stayed for another year at the Isha Yoga Center and I volunteered. And then I came back to the US when I was in, I came back in 2019. Yeah. And yeah, I'm in the US right now, but basically that's my background.
That is so interesting. Like your education experience is definitely very interesting and very different from all the different, like from the education that we receive. So when you have really built that strong foundation at a very young age, I wish I had that diverse education and learned about the spiritual practices at a young age. Growing up in South India, you know, at my house, like math and science were the most important subjects. And I got introduced to spirituality through my own search and through my own desire to live a fulfilling life. And ever since I started on the spiritual journey, my life has definitely been more happier. And I feel that there is a lot more clarity and purpose. And I also loved how you said that having that foundational education has really helped you have good balance and stability physically and psychologically. I think that's a great point. So what would you tell someone who is considering sending their kids to Isha school? Like, what are some things they should keep in mind, or what are some different experiences that you had there which you would like to highlight?
So one thing I would like to say is it's definitely worth it. Even though it's not a typical high school, you don't get a high school diploma. So like when it opened up, they told all the parents that were sending their kids that we won't be giving them any type of certification or high school diploma. This is just a type of education where it'll help them grow and it'll make a difference in their lives and it'll prepare them for whatever comes after that in the world. But we won't give them a diploma. That's what they said. And actually Sadhguru says, when he talks about the school that I went to is called Isha Samskriti. So when he talks about Isha Samskriti, he says, we are not preparing children for the university, but we are preparing them for the universe. So in many ways, I've actually seen that in my own life. I've experienced that right now. I'm experiencing it. It's just, I can definitely say that's not something, I mean, I wouldn't have given that chance up for anything else. Like, I'm just so grateful that I had the opportunity to grow up at that school. And it may look hard and it's very different from the normal, typical educational system. But because the kids are starting at such a young age, they only take children between the ages of 7 and 9. Because the children are at such a young age, it's easier for them to adapt and get into that type of schooling. So yeah, one thing I would tell parents is that it's definitely something I wouldn't regret doing. And I'm so grateful to have been through that kind of schooling. It's made a huge difference in my life.
That's great. Okay. Yeah, I really loved how you said, like, Isha Samskriti School is preparing students for the universe. That is so powerful. I love that. What is that one enlightening and memorable experience you cherish from Isha School that you would love to share with the Gromance audience?
Okay. One experience that I cherish a lot and I can still like visualize the whole situation was every so often we go hiking in the mountains. So the school is in at the foothills of a whole range of mountains, the Western Ghat Mountains.
Oh, nice.
So it's right at the foothills. So a lot of times it's like, every so often we would go hiking in the forest, we would go camping. And I just clearly remember those like I can still visualize those times when you went hiking, and it was just such a nice experience just being in the forest there, in the wildlife and camping there. That's something I always enjoyed. And yeah, that was just such an amazing experience just being in the wildlife like that. Yeah, that's something I cherish a lot from Asia Samskriti.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Nice. And what are some learnings that stuck with you that you think will be valuable for our listeners to know?
I think one major thing I learned was we are learning, in Samskriti, we're learning how, even though we're learning so many different Indian cultural art forms and stuff, I think the most important thing I gained from Samskriti was how to be within myself. It doesn't, so like people say, okay, after Samskriti, what are you going to do? What will Samskriti prepare you for? You're not getting a high school diploma. How are you going to do college? Like what are you going to do after Samskriti? And there are many things the children can do. They can teach the art forms that they specialize in. So during those 10 years, 6 years, they specialize in two art forms. So you can either teach that, you can go perform, or you could do anything else. You could go to college and you can do some other job. You can, there's so many options available. But my thing that I, the most important thing that I gained was how to be and how to be within myself. Even if I don't teach, let's say I don't even teach what I learned from some, say like the art forms wise, I still gained so much about how to be and just how to be within myself, which has helped me so much in so many different aspects of life. No matter what you do in your life, the most important thing is you, because you're there. whatever you do, you are there, and everything, all your experiences are happening within you. So if you don't learn, that's one huge thing that's missing in today's education, where children are not learning how to be within themselves, how to create the right kind of atmosphere within themselves to grow. And that was what I gained in Samskriti. And I think that was the most important thing. Art forms are there, all that is there, but the most important thing was how to be within yourself. And if that's set, then you have so much more energy and time to do so many other different things. Otherwise, you have so many issues within yourself. Today, you see there's so many children with so many different issues in schools, and especially the teenagers, you see a lot of issues these days. So that's one important thing that I gained from Samskriti, is how to be within yourself and how to create the right kind of atmosphere where you're joyful by your own nature, and then you are not a problem for yourself. If you are not a problem for yourself, then so many more opportunities open up and you can do so much more stuff with your life.
That is amazing. Yes, like oftentimes when we think about happiness, we think that it is dependent on external circumstances or dependent mm-hmm. on other people. And we sometimes, you know, fail to realize that happiness lies within us. And exactly mm-hmm. like how you were explaining, that inner dialogue that we have within ourselves is very important, especially as a kid or a child, like growing up. We didn't have those opportunities to learn about these things in our education. And even in my journey, I have been struggling a lot with stress, anxiety. I had a lot of limiting beliefs that didn't help me to do what mm-hmm. I wanted to do. And I think that you really made a great point here that, you know, how to be within yourself is really very important. And I'm glad to know that that is one of your greatest learnings from your education. So I'm curious to know, like, how did you go about deciding what you wanted to do after your schooling at Isha? You said that there are different options. Some people go about teaching the art form, some go to school, and you have chosen this path to study at the University of Austin, I believe. So how did you go about choosing that path?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so after I finished after I finished my 10 years in 2018, I spent another year at the Isha Yoga Center, and I volunteered. So also I forgot to mention, so in those 10 years, we get to choose and specialize in two subjects. So the two subjects that I chose were yoga and Kalaripayattu, which is the martial arts. So after the 10 years, I spent another year in the ashram volunteering for the Isha Hatha Yoga teacher training program, which people from all over the world come to get trained to be Isha Hatha Yoga teachers. So I spent a year volunteering for that program and just volunteering in the ashram. And then right after that, 2019 in April or May, I came back to the US because my family is here. So I came back and I just thought, why don't I try college? I haven't had that type of educational experience. So I just wanted to try it and see. So anyways, when I came back to the US, I started teaching yoga because I'm a trained certified yoga teacher, Isha yoga teacher, because I chose that as one of my specializations. So I started teaching yoga while I was here. And then I also decided, why don't I start doing college? And because I was just looking for different opportunities and I just wanted to see how and get that experience of the normal education as well, which I didn't get when I was in Isha Samskriti. So I decided to just start college and see. I didn't have anything particular in mind about what I wanted to study. I just wanted to start exploring. So I started at a community college. So initially I started at Austin Community College and I was studying there. And at the same time I was conducting and like organizing my own Isha Hatha Yoga programs and teaching classes for people. And for about a year and a half, I spent at Austin Community College studying. And then after that, I applied at University of Texas in Austin and I got accepted. So then I got in and I started. And right now I'm actually in my first semester at UT Austin. And yeah, so I've been at UT and I still haven't completely decided what I'm going to study as my major, but most probably it's going to be something in communications and entrepreneurship. But yeah, so that's been my journey after Samskriti. I'm back and I still teach yoga and I'm studying at UT right now.
That is awesome. Yeah, UT Austin is a great school. I overall love like how you got this opportunity to, you know, explore different options and think about what you wanted to do. And you always have, it looks like from your story, you seem like very open-minded and exploring different options. That is amazing. Like just thinking about my journey, I feel like there was a lot of influence from family, especially from parents on what I should be doing and what everyone in the South Asian families, you know, were doing. Like everyone were mostly like engineers or like doctors. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really have that opportunity to explore and figure out what I really wanted to do. And from your story, that aspect was very inspiring, that you weren't like really influenced by what other people had to say, but you had your own journey and you defined how your life should be. So I don't know if I'm saying that the right way, but that is one of my one of the interesting takeaways I have. And moving on, like you said that you also are a trained professional Hatha Yoga teacher. And I know you started this foundation called Boundless Yoga in 2020. So tell me more about what motivated you to start this Boundless Yoga movement and what's your vision for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with yoga as one of my major specializations in Samskriti, and the reason I chose yoga as one of my main subjects while studying there was because just the kind of transformation it brought in my life. Just, yeah, it was huge, the kind of transformation it brought in my life. So I thought, well, the kind of person I was before was, I used to be like really like short-tempered kind of guy. I used to get irritated a lot and used to get angry a lot. But then slowly as I started doing these yoga practices every day and practicing it, it just suddenly made a huge shift in the kind of person I am today. If people look at me today and if I tell them how I was years ago, like 10, 13 years ago, they won't believe I was the same person. So just seeing the kind of potential yoga has, it really inspired me to take this. I thought if I have these tools and if it's made such a huge difference in my life, it can make a huge difference in so many people's lives. So I got trained to teach Hatha Yoga, and then when I came back to the US, I wanted to continue teaching here and offering this to people. So I started Boundless Yoga, and there's different like aspects to why I named it Boundless Yoga. But one reason was,
yeah, I actually wanted to ask you, like, why did you name Boundless Yoga? You know, it's a very interesting mm-hmm. name. So yeah, I would love to know about that.
Yeah. So one aspect was, we're always, as human beings, everyone, we're always looking for something limitless, whatever it may be. We may be looking, different people look for it in different things. It may be money, it may be fame, it may be knowledge, it may be something else. There's so many different ways we're looking, but in some way, everyone's looking for limitlessness or boundlessness. But most people seem to be looking at it in the wrong things. They're looking at it in physical things, which, if something is physical, that means it has a boundary. It's not limitless. But the urge is for something limitless, but we're just looking in the wrong direction. So I've experienced this with yoga. It brings a kind of, there's a balanced dimension to it, where you, like we were talking about, being happy by your own nature. Like, so many people are looking for happiness in so many different things. But if you can just be joyful and happy by your own nature, that's the greatest thing you can have. So that was one aspect why I named it Boundless Yoga. And the other one was, there's so many different, the possibilities, that the opportunities or the benefits that yoga brings is just boundless. There's so many different things it can do to you. So that was the other reason why I named it Boundless Yoga. And it's just about, like, my experience of yoga has been becoming more bound, like becoming boundless and limitless. So that's why I named it Boundless Yoga, because I wanted people to experience that, at least a little bit of boundlessness or limitless in their lives.
That is so enlightening, and it's such a great name. Actually, I could relate to a lot of things here. Yeah, it is so great to hear your story of Boundless Yoga. I see some overlap between our vision. My vision for Growmans is to enable everyone to fall in love with themselves and to lead life with passion and purpose. When I was going through my growth journey, I faced a lot of stress and self-doubt. But when I started to love myself and practice complete acceptance, I found a lot more joy, peace, and fulfillment. And that really motivated me to start Growmans, share my journey and learnings, and build a movement. And also to bring in people like you to share their journey and experiences, which I feel will definitely inspire a lot of people here. And I believe that there is always something to learn from each other's stories. One thing I thought about as you were saying this is, every time I have an ambition in life, I think, like, if I would get there, I'll be happy. And, you know, that's pretty much it. But the reality is, like, once I get there, I would want something more or something mm-hmm. else. Like, you know, it's never ending. So, yeah, I really like that. I can understand that we all have limitless desires, maybe. Yeah. Right. And that makes sense. Like, I love this Boundless Yoga concept. I didn't have actually a lot of knowledge about yoga. Like, when I started it, I think one of my friends told me that it's a great way to deal with stress. Mm-hmm. I've always been into like HIIT workouts, dance workouts and things like that. Mm-hmm. But my friend was like, hey, you know, you should try yoga. You said you're dealing with a lot of stress. Just try it out. And I started with a YouTube channel and, you know, was just trying to like it, honestly. When I started, it was hard for me. It was very slow movements. I didn't really understand the depth or the meaning of, like, you know, what yoga is really. Mm-hmm. But every time after the practice, I felt so good. Like, mm-hmm. I would feel very relaxed, and it gave me a lot of energy throughout the day. Whereas, you know, when I do some HIIT workout or something like that, I feel very tired and I tend to sleep after mm-hmm. that, you know, for longer hours or something. Yeah. So it was more through my experience that I understood, okay, there is something that is happening when I do yoga. I could feel that connection between my breath, mind, and body. But even till now, I really don't understand the deeper meaning of like yoga and how mm-hmm. it can benefit someone. So maybe if you could share some wisdom on that, like what is your definition of yoga and why should people practice yoga? Like what benefits can they see or why is it so important to be part of your life?
Mm-hmm. So there are many benefits to yoga. There are a lot of physiological benefits. There are different practices that have many benefits to different parts of your body. Like even it strengthens the organs and the ligaments. So physiologically, there can be many benefits. And I've heard of so many people who have had certain ailments and they've benefited a lot after practicing yoga. Either their ailments has gone completely or at least it's been helping them cope with whatever ailments they've been having. So physically, there's a lot of different ways it can help with so many different things. Another thing, if you look at, is just the way you keep your body. If you keep your body in a certain way, there's so many other things happening within the system. So for example, if you just sit with your, so if you just like, keep your back straight and sit and keep your palms facing downwards on your thighs, you'll see your breath will happen in a certain way. But, and then if you just turn your palms facing upwards, you'll notice the way your breathing will change. So just a simple as turning your hands over, it makes such a huge difference in your breath. And there's also so many different things that are happening in the energy system as well. So, and we know in so many ways that the breath is connected to the mind. So like, let's say, suppose you see someone sitting in a particular way, you can see that if they're sad or there's something wrong with them, just by seeing the way they're sitting, you can tell that there's something wrong with them. So conversely is the science of Hatha Yoga or asanas. You're sitting like putting your body in a certain posture. And then like it creates certain kind of like your mental patterns change and it creates certain kind of emotions. So it's the converse science of like how I was saying, if someone's sad, if they're sitting in a particular way, you notice, you can just see by the way they're sitting that they're sad or they're not well. So the other, like, it's just the flip side of that. So sit, like putting your body in certain asanas and certain postures, it does certain changes in the system, in your breath and on the energy level. And that creates, that has an impact as well on the mind. So like that, it has a benefit that way as well. It just brings, like in my experience, yoga has been, it just grounds me in a certain way. And I can notice, like, if I don't do my practices on one day, I can clearly see the difference on the way I function in the day. It's just totally different. When I do my practices, I feel a certain amount of ease throughout my day. And no matter what kind of situations come, there's always going to be different kinds of situations happening. We can't control. We don't always have control over what's happening around us. But I noticed that when I do my practices, no matter what situations come, like I can still manage myself in a certain way where there's not much stress within me. So that's been my experience of yoga. And I've heard a lot of people that share similar experiences of doing these practices. It's reduced their stress. It's helped them manage situations better and more effectively. And it's also created a lot of efficiency in their day. They're just able to do a lot more things just because their mind is well set, like it's well, like balanced and set. There's not too much going on in the mind. It's just balanced and clear and they can do what they want to do. So there's so many different levels of benefits physiologically and psychologically, but yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is super interesting. Yes, actually, I'm a little early in my journey, but I could definitely visibly see the differences, like exactly like you said, on the days that I do my practices, I feel like I'm able to operate more efficiently and keep myself more calm, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, on the days I don't do, I just feel so much madness going on around me. Yeah, so that is very interesting. Yep. So what are some practices you will recommend for young adults to get started with, maybe even for people early in their journey or having like demanding 9-to-5 jobs? What are some simple practices that they can start incorporating to enhance their quality of life and eliminate stress and anxiety?
Yeah. So there are, for beginners, especially, there's certain set of practices which are actually available for free online. Anyone can learn and do these practices. They're called Isha Upayoga practices. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but these Upayoga practices are very simple but powerful practices. They don't take much time, but they can have a huge impact on your system. So these practices, it's available online. You can learn them. And it really helps, especially people who are sitting for long hours and working continuously on a computer and stuff. It definitely helps a lot with that. And it also can help with reducing stress. So the Upayoga practices, I think, are a great way to start practicing, at least, because it doesn't require a lot of time to do the practices. And a lot of these practices, they're simple, quick practices you can do throughout the day whenever you feel you need a break from work. You can take a quick break and do these practices, and it helps you just feel more rejuvenated and awake and lighter. So if you just look online, if you just like search Isha Upayoga, you'll see it on the Isha Foundation website, and then you can learn it, watch the videos, and do it on your own.
Okay, that is awesome. Cool. I think I have maybe tried it. I don't remember now, maybe last year, but I took the inner engineering course. And when I started with Isha Kriya. That was also like free on YouTube. And then I've tried like Shambhavi Mudra. As part of inner engineering course, I learned the Chit Shakti practice. And I really like that. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to mention that as well. So Isha Kriya and Chit Shakti meditations, those are also very good meditations for beginners. And it's available for free online. So people can make use of that as well.
Okay, great. So what's that one mindset shift or a change that you would recommend our audience to consider in order to continue their gromance journey of falling in love with their ever-evolving self, this journey of growth, self-love, and infinite learning?
One thing I would suggest, and it's helped me in so many ways, is that whatever situations come our way, try to use it in a way for your growth. No matter what comes, there's always a possibility for you to look at it and use it for your growth, even though it may not be something you expected or not something you wanted. There's also always a way to look at it and grow from it. So that's always been something that I'm always aware of and trying to always do that, because when we're working in the world, there's so many situations, so many things we're in, where things, so many times things don't happen our way, but we can always grow from it. And there's always, I'm sorry. And there's always a way of looking at it from another point of view, where even though it was, you didn't expect it, that's not what you wanted to happen, you can still grow from it and try next time to do it better. So that's something, that's a tool that I always carry with me, whatever I do. Yeah, and it's helped me a lot through my journey.
Yeah, that's beautiful. The power of acceptance, right? Is that where you are going with that? Yeah, like that's very true. And it's very hard because we always ask this question, why me? Why did this happen to me? Because we have like a plan in mind. And when things don't go by that plan, it really stresses us out. But believing that and accepting that this happened for some reason and accepting what we have in front of us is really powerful, I think. And as I have been trying to practice acceptance, I could see that my life has become much more happier than before, instead of always questioning like why me, why this happened. So it's very beautiful,
and you can also look at it as a way of breaking your own limitations. It's a great way, especially when things you don't like happen. It's always a great way to look at it and use it as a way for you to break your own limitations.
Yes, cool. The last question is Pretty interesting. I'd love to know your thoughts. So if you had a magic wand and you have the power to change the world, what would your ideal world look like?
So I think I would want a more conscious, like a world full of conscious people, because just that will make a huge difference in the world. If people just were more conscious and aware, I think that would be a great world to be in. And in a way, the yoga that we're teaching and everything is also working towards that, raising people's consciousness and awareness. So, yeah.
Okay, that's amazing. Yep, conscious living, mindful living, super important, something I am also trying my best, especially like even the smaller things like eating and, you know, maybe even going for a walk or for a run. Like, even though I go on the same run, on the same route every day, I still miss, like, you know, what is around me. And sometimes even forget like the way back home. It's so funny. I'm like, oh my God, I go in the same route like all the time. But yeah, that is how mindful or conscious I am. And even when eating, I have this habit of watching TV and I'm trying to like eat mindfully, but I know I am very early in the journey and trying to incorporate that in even like the smallest things that we do in our everyday lives. So yeah, I would love a world like that.
Yeah, for sure.
That was a very interesting talk with Savan Patel. And once again, I thank you so much for being on my podcast. By sharing your journey, starting from your time in Isha Sanskriti School and the kind of education they provide, to practicing yoga, mindfulness and meditation, and founding Boundless Yoga, you have given our listeners some really valuable information. I'm sure all of you found this episode to be useful as I did. Let us all strive to live a life full of consciousness and awareness. Please share this talk with your friends and family. And until next time, this is Pavi Deva signing off.